This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Clint Schneckloth, Pastor Clint Schneckloth. He's the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
All right. It's Thanksgiving week.
It is.
So Thanksgiving means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. What does it mean to you?
Increasingly, it's meant simply for us travel to see family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading in Southern Living, like that seems to be it's like a huge percentage of the population goes to just be with their family.
More than Christmas even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the travel holiday. So we go to see both of our sets of relatives, all in Iowa. So we get to cross Missouri, which actually has become increasingly fun. I got to say, you know, you always judge the state south of you, I think. And so.
All right. I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're kind of right there.
So I grew up in Iowa, so Missouri was like that state for us. And we've started to discover, you know, really cool little spots to stop.
Maybe that explains Texas, because there's no one south of them, so they never have anyone to judge. They just, you know, puff out their chest and think they're the best.
We're Texas.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, what I love about Thanksgiving is this is the most celebrated holiday that allows everybody to set their own rules. It comes with, from my vantage, and you may tell me differently, but it comes up with almost no spiritual or ceremonial regulations. No one thinks there's a war on Thanksgiving. No one says, remember the reason for the season is this and not that.
Yeah. No, I think you're totally right about that. It feels like the one holiday that's genuinely religious, but accessible for every. I can't think of a religion that's against giving thanks.
Right. And it's also a very American holiday, not necessarily in spirit, but on the date.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the one that seems, at the same time, the least American, in that you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And there is not an idea, excluding maybe a Norman Rockwell painting, of what a Thanksgiving dinner table looks like.
No, it's definitely been decolonized differently than, like, say, Columbus Day, where mm-hmm. there's this whole discussion about decolonizing a state holiday. It's already, I mean, that picture. I did grow up, you know, with crayons and drawings of a kind of a traditional Thanksgiving that we were taught, which was kind of a propaganda.
Yeah, and
I remember.
And you do bring that up, and there are the images of the very stereotypical sort of Indian pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't, at least I don't seem to see that nearly like I did when I was a child.
No, it seems like people can evoke their own
right.
kind of cultural context much more.
You mentioned that no religion that you can think of would be against giving thanks. Is that an easy thing to do, give thanks?
Well, that's right. So that's different than saying that they would, so they're for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are periods when it's harder or easier to do it, and to really recognize like gifts in the middle of adversity or whatever has some major value, but it does take a little bit of work. There's a in our tradition, for example, there's a set of prayers that are in our catechism that give thanks for like some of the things that are that you would basically take for granted, you know, like that you got to sleep last night, mm-hmm. or that you had a bed, or that you have enough food for today. That's in the Lord's Prayer. Water. There are so many things that like most of the time we have, and they're available. And so even if there's all these other struggles, these are all blessings or gifts.
Can giving thanks make you aware that there are people that don't have those things? I mean, you can be upset that your roof has another leak, but then you remember you have a roof and there's a large percentage of the world's population that doesn't, or access to running water or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a healthy exercise?
I think it is. So we actually know that it's healthy to compare yourself. I used to go when I would visit people in the hospital and they would say, like, well, I'm not as bad off as the person, you know, three doors down. I used to say something along the lines of, well, but everybody's pain is their own pain, and it's okay if you feel bad or you feel sick or whatever. And then I read this, like, study about mental health and illness where they said that making that comparison actually helps people heal quicker. And so I've modified how I've responded to that. And I mean, you don't want to have somebody ignore their own pain, but apparently it's helpful for us to make those kinds of comparisons. And so, yeah, it's like giving thanks that you're not as bad off right now as what you could be or where somebody else is. On the other hand, there can be a kind of a condescension there that I would, you know, worry about, because then you don't recognize the blessings and the gifts that that group has.
Ah, interesting.
You know, there's always a danger of getting into the mindset of those people and what you think they don't have, as opposed to hearing from them what they do. Maybe an example might be, you know, like yesterday I took our high school youth group down to Seven Hills, and we did a tour of the day center, and then we did a small volunteer project in the evening of sorting some stuff there. And that's definitely the kind of context where the average person who's currently in a home or has shelter can go, and they can be like, kind of generalize what the group of people who are homeless are like. And there's some real spiritual dangers there, because then you can't see the gifts that the individual people have who are homeless, maybe the ways that people who are homeless care for one another, maybe the ways in which the people who are homeless maybe have better insight into the world than people who are sheltered, you know. Maybe they're more generous. Maybe they give thanks more often than I do, you know. And so I don't want to generalize that either, but I think that you have to be a little careful.
Because Thanksgiving is this holiday that doesn't have a firm tie to any particular single religion, does it play a part? Does Thanksgiving holiday, and I imagine there are a lot of pastors, priests, rabbis who are on the road, right, during this week. It's probably one of the weeks when you have the fewest regular folks in the pulpit. But is there a role that the church plays in Thanksgiving?
Well, one thing that we're doing, which we've had a tradition of for a number of years, is we do a Thanksgiving dinner, but we do it on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because so many people are doing family stuff on Thanksgiving or traveling. It doesn't make a lot of sense to do it on Thanksgiving. So we do it on the Sunday before. One thing that we're doing, we're doing a straight-up potluck. We're going to eat whatever people bring. But it does give us the chance to reach out to and share a meal with people who might feel too evangelized if we invited them to something else. So, like, the imam from the Islamic Center is going to come join us for our Thanksgiving dinner. I was at Ramadan at the Islamic Center, and that's a public meal that they do that isn't, you know, trying to get you to be a Muslim. And our Thanksgiving dinner is not a thing of trying to get you to be a Christian. It's just we are giving thanks together. And so some people from the Islamic Center are going to come, and we, you know, put the word out right in the neighborhood, you know, hey, we're just having Thanksgiving dinner. And it does feel nice as the inviter to know that they can authentically think like, yeah, hey, they're just inviting us because they want to share a meal with us, not because they're trying to instrumentalize the meal in order to accomplish some other goal. What can the church do? Well, the one thing that comes up, I don't know what to make of this actually on some levels, but what Thanksgiving has become, or the way it's become populated beyond just giving thanks, is, of course, as you know, the day after Thanksgiving is
Black Friday.
And apparently Target decided to be open all day on Thanksgiving Day this year. They're not even observing Thanksgiving anymore, for whatever reason. Then on,
well, I think we know the reason. It's economic. It's bottom line, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting because do you think that, because corporations have to think about public perception, right?
Of course. Yes, 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 yes.
So they must have decided to be a leader on just not doing the Black Friday thing anymore and being open on Thanksgiving, and that that's not going to catch a lot of flack.
Sure.
I don't know. But so you got Black Friday, and then for a long time it was just the Black Friday thing, and then it started being Cyber Monday, mm-hmm. right? And now there's this thing that started happening over the last number of years, Giving Tuesday, where I imagine maybe even KUAF is doing something around it. I don't know.
We haven't in the past. Not that we disdain it or anything. It just, uh-huh. I mean, we have a fundraiser that happens in December. So
okay. So that's,
we've kind of, I think, I shouldn't be speaking for others here, but I think we, look, if you want to give to KUAF on Giving Tuesday, we're not going to turn you down. But we do have this focused effort in just a few weeks.
What you heard Kyle say is that you should give generously to KUAF year round.
Yeah, whatever, you know, Giving Wednesday, Giving Thursday to your public radio station.
Right.
Right.
Well, so the church does have, most churches are thinking about this around Thanksgiving, probably on some level or another, evoking, it's not just about giving to the church, although, of course, churches welcome donations also because that's how they do what they do. But they're a big part of the spirituality of our faith tradition is helping people recognize the gift of being generous. You know, that generosity comes back around or does something for you. One of the things that generosity does for you, probably the most important spiritual aspect of giving, is less about what it does for the recipient and more about the fact that it frees you up from the control that wealth or that whatever has over you. You know, that your heart is kind of like locked down on the stuff that you have and that giving actually cracks you open in a sense. And if you think about some of the ways that people practice Thanksgiving, you can realize how this works in real life. Like you've got the uncle who brings the cheap wine every
right,
year,
right.
But then drinks the really good port that everybody else brings or whatever.
Right.
That's a real thing. Well, that person who comes to your Thanksgiving dinner, everybody feels a little bit bad for them because you realize that their generosity heart is kind of like shriveled, right? As opposed to the person who shows up at the Thanksgiving dinner with like some scrumptious thing that they've made or spend, you know, labors all day in the kitchen and doesn't even eat it themselves because they're enjoying so much.
Right.
You know, seeing the other people eat what they prepared for them. And when you look at that person, you want to be that person.
Right.
Even though they, on some level, sacrificed me, or they got all of their pleasure from the generosity, as it were, right? So that's the deep aspect of Thanksgiving that you get to see in practice sometimes. And what's cultivated by religious traditions is to say, well, where the human feels the most fully alive is in that generosity of spirit.
Do you have personal Thanksgiving traditions?
Well, we do. I especially like powdered mashed potatoes out of the box. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was like, hey, to each their own. That's fine.
No
judgment.
My genuine favorite Thanksgiving food, and this is kind of funny, but it's the green bean casserole.
Oh, well, I don't think you're nothing funny about that. That's good stuff.
And that's partially because I grew up in the Midwest where the glue that held everything together was mm-hmm. cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I actually don't eat cream of mushroom soup that often anymore, but man, I'm ready for that at Thanksgiving.
Well, I think that's what makes it special.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't eat it all the time, and it does bring back the past 40 Thanksgivings or whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that. My grandma always took and used the canned cranberry sauce that goes
the rings.
yeah. Out of it, right? And then she would actually slice it, so it was kind of like in serving portions or whatever. And I like those a lot.
Yeah. But again, you don't have those the time.
Not normally. No. Right. No. And then our other kind of like food tradition, I would say, is a rough debate over what are the best dressings. You know, some people like the savory and some people like the sweet. And I'm definitely on the savory side of the equation, except for something happened in my 40s and I started liking cooked fruit, which I always disliked. So I might try putting the cranberries like on the turkey this year. I don't know.
All right, let me know how that goes. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Let me know how the cranberry on the turkey goes.
I'm going to try. I think I'm going to try it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let us know.
Okay.
Whether that becomes the new tradition or not.
All right.
I have my suspicions. Pastor Clint Sneckloth is the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville.